The president today at Georgetown University discusses energy. Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee knows some of the things that he'd like to hear the president talk about.
I hope the president will abandon his high-tax energy plan that drives jobs overseas looking for cheap energy and join us in working for a low-cost clean energy plan that makes us more independent and creates jobs.
Let's get some context on this as we turn for some context to Justin Dargan. He is a research fellow for the Dubai Initiative. Thank you for being with us on POTUS today.
Absolutely, Tim. It's my pleasure.
We have, of course, the nuclear meltdown, and I use that word advisedly, in Japan, as well as concerns about the oil supplies in the Middle East. What sort of a backdrop do you think this gives to the president for the comments that he's going to be making today?
Well, I think that we're in an extremely difficult environment right now. I mean, the impact of Fukushima on the nuclear energy sector is going to be absolutely enormous. I mean, right now what we've seen is that there's been a step back in many countries that have somewhat aggressively promoted the nuclear energy industry over the past several years for several aims. One of the aims was to reduce energy dependence on what is alleged to be very unstable sources or sources which may be against the national interests of that particular country. And then there's also the other aim of climate change as well, because nuclear energy, of course, does not emit any carbon. So this has been two of the main drivers behind the support for nuclear energy. Now, with Fukushima, this has been the worst nightmare for the nuclear energy, and as of yet, the situation is still not under control. And then we also, to just add a bit more complexity to the situation, there's a spreading unrest in the Middle East, which is now impacting major oil producers. So the environment in which we're in, it's going to be extremely difficult in the short term to be able to alleviate the price increases in the price of the international price of oil, and also for the mid to long term in the sense of transitioning our dependence away from hydrocarbons or fossil fuels to a cleaner source, because simply renewable energy won't be able to handle the enormous amounts of energy demand that runs the American industrial machine.
Let's stick with nuclear for a second, if we could, because you mentioned the long-term concerns. How much of this short-term fear, if you will, is something that will last, that would affect the construction and the planning of nuclear plants? Because those take so long. It takes 15, 20 years to get a nuclear plant online. Can you still make plans and hope for the best and move forward with those plans, or does this bring everything to a screeching halt?
Well, I say let's look at this a bit historically. If you remember President Nixon, he promised that by the turn of the century, the year 2000, there'd be thousands of nuclear power plants up and running in the U.S. And what happened in the interim? We had Three Mile Island, we had Chernobyl. And as a result, as we all, most of us can remember, there was a significant pushback against the nuclear industry. And most of the plants that we have today, I believe all of them, have been constructed in the 1970s. So we don't really have any new plants up and running, and we only have about 104 functioning nuclear power plants. So if we take that as a historical example, and Fukushima is more or less in between Three Mile Island and the impact of Three Mile Island and Chernobyl, we can see that there definitely is going to be some resistance on the side of the populace and also perhaps many policymakers. Although President Obama hasn't stated that he's going to necessarily pull back from his nuclear plans, but I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of pressure. So I think that the full, let's say, this full push forward for to use nuclear energy as a type of bridge for a decarbonized economy is going to face enormous obstacles in the future.
We are speaking once again with Justin Dargan, research fellow for the Dubai Initiative, as we discuss the president's energy speech today, which we will carry here on POTUS. Another question about that. You mentioned that the use of alternative energy sources, for example, solar and wind power, are certainly not sufficient to bring us to energy independence or total we can get along without oil. Is there a sense that that is pretty much unanimous now? Are there still some advocates who think that we can handle everything with hydroelectric or and solar and wind combined? Or is there still, or is there some sort of consensus that we're going to need something else to add to that mix?
I think that there's the consensus that we have to have a diversified energy mix And I think that's basically, there's broad-based agreement upon that. I mean, so renewable energy would form a proportion of that energy mix, but it certainly can't take the entire burden of running the American economy. As this one observer said once, you can't run an automobile plant on solar panels, for instance. Okay, so I mean, really, there has to be a durable source of energy in terms of power production and power generation. And many people look towards the so-called shale gas revolution, which has been ongoing for the past several years in the U.S. So it's a bit ironic, but because of the massive amounts of shale gas that have been found in the United States and have come online, this has actually made other forms of energy a bit uncompetitive. Because now it seems as if we may be energy independent when it comes to natural gas. So because of this new secure source of energy, and we're rapidly bringing it online, the exploration into alternative forms of energy may not necessarily be as intense as it was previously, whereby people felt that we're running out of natural gas, or we're running out of oil, and so on. So in order to increase our energy independence, as well as to decarbonize our economy, then we need to turn to renewable energy. So now the dynamics are definitely a bit different. But in terms of renewable energy, Europe has made significant strides in that regard. I mean, Norway, for instance, is a major oil-producing country that runs its economy almost entirely on hydroelectric generation, power generation. Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., unfortunately, we aren't able to do that now. So the major issue is transitioning our transportation sector away from hydrocarbons, away from petroleum, and then attempting to utilize perhaps electric cars and so on. And then we can make a transition to less carbon emissions from our power generation sector by using much more natural gas. So natural gas could be the bridge fuel as we continue on our search to find much more durable renewable energy sources.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the scientific and the, historic view of it. I guess from the political standpoint, I would guess that's a pretty tough mountain to climb right now.
Very difficult, very, very difficult. But I think that if we want to have a reasonable goal to aim for, we should gradually increase our usage and our production of renewable energy within the energy mix, have some flexible policies that can promote R&D within this sector, and at the same time gradually transition to more carbon-intensive forms of energy, and perhaps explore carbon capture and storage and so on, so that during this transitional period, we can still attempt to make this the use of hydrocarbons as sustainable as possible and not pollute the environment anymore.
Justin Dargan.
We have to.
Justin Dargan from the Dubai Initiative. Thank you for joining us on POTUS today.
Thank you very much, Tim.